Blog Talk Radio.
As we cross over, I want to tell you tonight, we're praying for the people in Michigan that over there that had the shooting at the school, at the college. It happened this year in schools and colleges. So that means that we have to take control and do some of that. Right now, I'm going all the way to Detroit and have Mary to read. After Mary read, we're going to have a song and we're going to cross over tonight. And we're going to cross over with something that you need. Mary Hawkins going to read. As Mary read, okay. Let me see what I need to do. Okay. As we get ready, I'm just looking because we got to find out that we got to do that. You got something that's happening, and some of the things happening to us tonight is what happened over at the college where a sick man, and I want to say now, is a lot of people is on drugs and pills. They're out of their mind. So we have to deal with what's going on with us in 2023. I got some prophecy I'm going to give you, but as I give that prophecy, I want to see if I got Mary on the line from Detroit, and I want to know if Mary's on the line from St. Paul, Minnesota. And as they get ready to resurrect some things for you, and it'll be a blessing for you, because I want you to listen tonight and you get these scriptures, because they're going to bless you. I'm glad to see you all the way from Mississippi, that's on there, all the way from Mississippi, and all the way from down in Jackson, those are from Monroe, that's on, and those are from Texas, I see. And I want to say, come on, understanding of what's going on for us, and that's very important. raise your hand when you're on, but I want to know you. I've got Mary reading Psalms, 91 number Psalms, and Sherry is singing High Grip. High Grip they are. And I want to tell you tonight, wherever you might be, every love, every telephone, every call, Jerry, I'm praying for you. Jerry, we're praying for you. Glad to tell you, Pearl, everything's going to be all right. Now, you got to go to a funeral. There's no star on the earth that heaven cannot hear. I'm praying for your brother. And I want y'all to support him, Pearl. Mary, y'all support him. You support him by talking to him, calling. Because it's in your life. And, you know, so I want to tell you, for Valentine, and just the scripture for Valentine, St. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to be in our parish. Learn how to love. And I'm not talking about a love for a man or woman, a divine love for God. The love that when you love God, you'll keep his commandments. When you love God, you will walk in his anointing. Thank you, Holy Ghost. And as we cross over in the night, we cross over with our ancestors. And I got a letter from my ancestors. Tonight. And our answer is telling he's to what's happening right now. And he's in the spirit realm. And listen to him tell you what's happening to America, what happened to the world. But before we do that tonight, I want to tell you I'm a net prophesied that she was blind in one eye. God healed her and the blood shot come out. God is still healing in the midst of the shooting over in Michigan, in the shooting down in Mississippi, Marion. They look like every time we come together, we want to shoot and kill each other. Those are negative spirits. What is a sin is death. The God eternal. Yeah, God, you done lost out. See how much money you got, but you got to understand that that will open up a door for you. God will open up a door for you, and God will bless you in a special way. So you get ready for God to do something special for you. And get ready for the door for you. I'm going to let you know tonight, all is well. And I want to tell you, when you come through something, I heard about the shooting. But I said, well, what are they shooting on campus? Why? We had 67 shootings this year at schools and campus with assault weapons. The government got that in the buying of assault weapons, but they got to stop making them. And we got the end. The weapons that they're killing people with, that those weapons you fight in the army, that's the kind of weapons for that you fight in the army with. So I just want you to know we got to get rid of the assault weapons that's killing our women, our children. And it's important for you to hold your head up, but work for you. God will make a way. And God will clear up a way. I want to tell you tonight, before we get into the midst of the service, I want you to put down John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. And I want you to make a circle. In that circle, put your loved ones and put your name in them. Because it's things you don't know that God's going to give you. I want to thank Bryce God. Thank you. And Bryce, I was telling you to be here. Yes, and I have prophesied. I got to do my prophesying. Tornadoes back to back. As I speak, tornadoes throughout the South. And I speak, I was saying about floods in different countries and a tsunami. And I want to say this, if that's going to be sighting, we already seen the first sighting, but we're going to see more sightings of UFO, and the government cannot tell you it's not, because people seeing them. It started in 2022. It's going to start in 2023, 2024. People are going to see it in the air, and they're going to try to shoot it down, try to cover it up. But we got visible from another world, from another planet. So I just want you to, I'm telling you that, but you said I didn't hear about it. When they begin to tell you, for whatever coming, I'm letting you know that I've already prophesied there's going to be a wall in the Middle East. There's a wall between Israel and a wall with Russia. This wall is going on, war. And this is what God's saying. As I talk over with the ancestors tonight, it gives us an understanding of what we need to do, body, mind, soul, and spirit. And that's very important. Thank you, David. Stop. I'm praying for you in the seminary.
Okay.
And I want
to... You going in and out. Your voice,
as a matter of fact,
you going in and out.
Do a conference call and y'all talk to him together. Can y'all do that?
Yes.
Read the scripture for us tonight. Now, folks, for Mary, read the scripture. This is Prophet Mary Hoffman. The elders come to me to give her the prophecy for the year that she's been working. And James says, this woman skipped this from God. Got a gift. And she said, that's the exercise of gift. But before Mary reads, I want to let you know, over at the school, over there.
Bishop.
Hold out of his mind.
Bishop, your voice is going in and out. Yeah. We can't hear you.
Okay.
You going in and out.
Okay, let's do it. Okay. Go on and read your scripture.
Okay. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that fly by day, nor for the pestilence that's walk in darkness, nor for the destruction that waste at noonday.
Oh,
8,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. I just read Psalm 91, 1 through 7.
Thank you for that, Mary.
And I want to tell you tonight, as you read that scripture, there's a lot of evil and murder going on across the land. A lot of sickness going on. But we have to pray and stay focused with God. All over the world, things are happening. But God is still in the business of blessing. I'm going to thank Paul in Minnesota right now. And Sister Sherry, God bless you tonight. Are you listening?
Yes.
Okay, will you sing your song for us? And I ask you to sing the song for the mothers that lost their children over in Lansing, Michigan, with the children that's going on and what happened down in Arkansas, the children down in Louisiana, and right here in Chicago. is black, white, brown. And there's a picture of what's going on. People are full of alcohol and drugs, and the drugs are making them act out, and they want to kill and kill. Okay, you can read, you can sing, sister. This is Sister
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
God sent his Son, they called him Jesus. He came to love, he left me. He lived and died to buy my heart.
Because he lives, we can make another day. And I want to tell you, Sister Sherry, because he lives, we can live. And that song was so beautiful. And when you were singing, I had three people call in. And one lady was just crying. They touched her heart. So, Sherry, I want you to keep singing. Don't stop singing because you're touching somebody's heart. Somebody's mind is being touched. Call Elil. I'm praying for those mothers that lost their children, three children, because that we're not in America. We're not dealing with the drugs. We're not dealing with mental health. And we got to deal with mental health that's going on in our country. And I prophesied that it's going to be more suicide of young folks this year in my prophecy. When I prophesied
that came true.
I prophesied, and I'm going to say it right now.
Saint Matthew 9:18. Saint Luke chapter 7, verse 11 to 56.
Society of you have called me on 2022, 2023, 2024,
and public and
King
God.
We have to be able to love each other. But God so loved the world, he gave his own God. This is what happened. I'm going to share with you. 67 people being killed in I would say 67 shootings in college and school
weakness in the circumstances.
We got to
You are not only a citizen of this world, but you are a citizen of another world. You live both in time and eternity, both in heaven and earth. But you must come to see that although it is true that you live now in the colony of time, you must always take your orders from the empire of eternity. You must come to see that, America. And your ultimate allegiance is not to the government, not to the state, not to the nation, but your ultimate allegiance is to God, and sometimes it's necessary to be, to speak out against the state in order to stand up for God. Oh, America, will you come to see this? But not only that, America, I have read some of your psychology. I hear you talking a great deal about maladjustment. It is the ringing cry of the child, psychologists, maladjustment. Certainly nobody wants to be maladjusted. Everybody wants to be adjusted. But America, I want to call upon you, if you're going to be followers of Christ, to be maladjusted. I never intended America to adjust myself to some things, and I hope you will never adjust to it. In an age amazingly adjusted to war, I call upon you, maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to imperialism and colonialism, I call upon you to be maladjusted. In an age amazingly adjusted to hate and malice, I call upon you to be maladjusted. My plea to you in America is to be maladjusted. I understand that you have a great economic system in America that you call capitalism. Through that economic system, you have been able to do one. You have been able to build up the richest nation in the world. Through that system, you have been able to build up the greatest productive system that the world has ever known. And all of that's fine. But America, that is the danger that you will misuse your capitalism. I'm not an economist, and I cannot criticize your economic system from the point of view of the economist, but I can criticize it from a moral point of view. And I still contend, America, that money can be the root of all evil. Money can lead one to live a life of gross materialism. And I'm worried that too many people in America are more concerned about making a living than making a life. Yes, America, money can lead to exploitation. So often you have done that. But they tell me that 1/10 of 1% of the population controls more than 50% of the wealth. Oh, America, how you can take necessities from the masses to give luxuries to the fat. Your capitalism can be used very well. You can use it to wipe poverty from the face of the earth. You can use it to lift the whole level of humanity. You can lift it to make mankind come to the point that it is destined to come to. Your wealth can be used to a noble end. You have it at your disposal. Use it for that, America. Oh, I would that I could be with you. I would that I could say to you face to face what I am trying to say to you in writing. How I long to be with you. But let me rush on and say something about the church. I'm going to say to you once more, as I have said so often before, that the church is the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there can be no division. In the body of Christ, there can be no disunity. But I'm disturbed about America and what is happening now concerning the body of Christ. They tell me that in America you have within Protestantism more than 256 denominations. And the tragedy of America is not so much that you have more than 256 denominations, but the fact that all of these denominations are warring against each other, trying to make it appear that they have the only truth. Oh, this narrow sectarianism, this narrow denominationalism, is destroying the unity of the church. America, you must come to see that God is not a Baptist, that God is not a Methodist, that God is not an Episcopalian. God is bigger than any of our denominations. You must come to see, America, that all of this is man-made. But even as I look at Roman Catholicism, I'm disturbed about that. Because it stands out also with an arrogance which becomes a spiritual arrogance, making the world appear that it has the only truth, standing with this noble folk, almost taking the place of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when he speaks ex cathedra, he becomes infallible. I'm disturbed about any earthly creation that tends to claim infallibility. I'm disturbed about any church that refuses to cooperate with other churches with the pretense that it is the only true church. That is so much in the church that is destroying the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, there can be no division and no disunity. But America, another thing disturbs me about your church. You have a Negro church. You have a white church. Oh, America, that is quite disturbing, for that cannot exist within the true body of Christ. How did that thing ever get into being anyway? You have allowed segregation to come into the church, America. Oh, how tragic. When you stand up on Sunday morning to sing, "In Christ there is no east and west," isn't it tragic that you stand in the most segregated hour of your Christian nation? They tell me there is more integration in sports arenas and nightclubs. That is in the Christian church. Oh, how tragic that is. Out of calling that is. They tell me that there are even Christians among you who try to justify segregation on the basis of the Bible. They try to argue that the Negro is superior by nature because of no curse upon the children of Ham. Oh, my friend, oh, America, this is blasphemy. This is against everything that the Christian religion stands for. This is against the will of the Almighty God. In America, I would urge you to get rid of that something called segregation. It is a dangerous evil. It is an evil which must be wiped over the face of the earth if man is ever to come to his full maturity. America, don't compromise with it. Don't play with it. Oh, I pray your Supreme Court to pass a great decision just a year or two ago. I pray that all men in your nation of goodwill who are willing to follow it. But they tell me you still have some brothers among you in Alabama and Mississippi and Georgia and Louisiana and Florida who would make their legislative calls ring loud with the words institution and nullification. They have lost the true meaning of democracy and Christianity. I would urge you to plead with your brothers with patience and understanding, goodwill, and tell them that this isn't the way. May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil. Let me say to you, you always struggle against it with Christian methods and with Christian weapons. Never succumb to the temptation of becoming bitter. Never succumb to the temptation of indulging in hate campaigns. You must, at all moments, move with wise restraint and calm reasonableness. Keep pressing on, but press on with discipline and dignity, and use only the weapon of love, and let no man fool you so low as to hate it. Look at your oppressor hard enough to see in him something of godliness. Yes, it might be just a spark, but if you work on him long enough, it can develop into a leaping flame. So I would say to those of you who are roaring and struggling against your oppression, to use Christian methods and Christian weapons and let him know that as you struggle, you are not attempting to defeat him. Not attempting to humiliate him, not attempting to get rid of him, to pay him back. Let him know that you're seeking to help him as well as yourself. Let him know that the festering sword of segregation debilitates the white man as well as the Negro. Let him know that as you seek to rid the earth of this evil of segregation, you're seeking to help him also. Give that message all over the world and live by that principle and get rid of that something called segregation, America. For it is not only rationally inexplicable, but it is morally scandalous. You must get rid of it if you are to be a Christian nation. Yes, America, I realize some of you would give your lives to this country. That would be white people who will do it. That would be Negroes who would struggle to get rid of it. But I want to say this to you, that as you struggle, don't despair. Realize that whenever you stand up for right and righteousness, whenever you stand up for truth, whenever you stand up for goodness, you will be persecuted. But don't despair about it. Sometimes it might mean going to jail, but if that is the case, be willing to fill up the jail, because I had to go to jail. It might even mean physical death. Physical death is a price that some have paid to free their children from a life of permanent psychological death. Then nothing could be more honorable. Don't worry about the persecution of America. You're going to have that if you stand up for truth and goodness. Oh, that happened throughout my life. As soon as I was converted, I was denied by the disciples at Jerusalem. Then I was laid aside for heresy at Jerusalem. Yes, I was beaten at Thessalonica. I was mobbed at Ephesus. I was jailed at Philippi, and I went down to Athens, and I was depressed there. Yes, I was even shipwrecked in Malta, but I'm still going. And I still believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope of the world. I still believe that in standing up for the gospel of Jesus, nothing in the world is greater. This is the end of life. This is the end of the universe. The end of the universe is not to be happy. The end is not to avoid suffering, but the end of life is to do the will of God, come what may. Oh, America, will you hear that and will you follow that before it is too late? Then I must say one other thing. You know, I said to the Church of Corinth, that love is the principal thing, and I want to still say that to America. America, I want you to know that you might move high in the world. You might come to the point that you are mighty eloquent in your speech. You might master the English language. All of your grammar might be perfect. You might move high. You might move with all of the eloquence of an articulate speech. I want you to realize, America, that it is still true that even if you can speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, you are become as sounding brass or a tinkling. Yes, America, you may have the gift of tongues. So that you can understand all mysteries, you may have scientific insight. So that you can break out into the storehouse of nature. Yes, America, you might have all of the mysteries and understand them so that you can remove the mountains of material obstacles. You may move all of the mountains that stand before you. But unless you have love, it means nothing. But even more, America, you may give your goods. You might power high in philanthropy. You may give red gifts to the United States. You may give that just to your colleges and universities. You may give big money. But if you have not love, it means nothing. Yes, and you may even give your body to be burned. You may even stand up and die life as a mocker. You may stand before the universe as that honorable person who was willing to stand up as a mocker. Even if you do that and you have no love, it means nothing. Yes, for Mary, it is impossible to be selfish sinner one's in the denial and the right righteous of self-right. It is possible for one comes generous in order to feed his ego, and it is possible for one to be pious in order to feed his pride. So man has the tragic capacity of being able to take a heightening vice to a tragic, a heightening virtue to a tragic vice. Yes, even if you give your goods to feed the poor, have not love, it means nothing. You may build your all of your greatest You may have all knowledge. You may feel your great poverty and your great jail. You may have all of your institutions of learning and all of your PhDs and MAs and ABs. But if you have not love, America, it means nothing. I still want you to know that love is the principal thing in the universe. I want you to know that at the center of life stands love and that it is the most durable in the world. If you follow that, America, you will build a great nation. I must get ready to leave now. Timothy says, one comment to deliver the letter, and I must take leave to go to another church. But just before leaving, let me say this to you, America. I said a lot to you about loving. I said a lot to you about being moral and living noble principles. I know that you often try to do that. I want to say something to you about the meaning of the gospel. In trying to live up to the high noble principles of this religion, you often fall short. I know how you felt sometimes you tried to live up to it and you didn't quite make it. Sometimes you felt that you could do it alone, but the more you tried, the more you discovered that you couldn't do it alone. I know how you are caught up in the tragic dimensions of sin, both individual and collective. I see how, as you live life on every level of your life, running from front of sin, and sometimes you have to cry out, as I have to cry out, good that I would, I do not, and the evil that I would not, that I do. Then as you try to follow the law of love, you find yourself saying, oh, wretched man that I am. You discover somehow that the more you try, the more you discover that you can't do it alone. Oh, you end up in despair. You end up in a tragic state. You feel that you have lost out. Yes, I have been like that. When I came to that point, I came to the point of feeling that I couldn't make it alone. I came to the point of realizing that I was too weak for me. I discovered something else. I reached out and saw breaking out of eternity into time the powerful dimension of God's grace. Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. So I want to say to you, America, reach out. If you reach far enough, you will discover God's grace. It is that grace that can lift you from the fatigue of despair to the fluency of hope. It is that grace that can lift you from that midnight sorrow to the daybreak of dawn. It is that grace that helps you to see that by the grace of the Almighty God, you can live in this world and you can live this life. And you can see the face of the Almighty God with all of his eternal strength. In the midst of man's tragic sin, there is God's amazing grace. I must say goodbye to you now. Maybe I will not see you, but I will meet you in God's defense. May the grace of God and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with you today, tomorrow, even forever. This is the letter. Now come.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory's won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory's won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory's won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. before the victory's won, some would be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadows, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the brilliancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say, walk together, children. Don't you get weary. There's a great camp meeting.
Of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam, while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shot down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this. And it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counts. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
But you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. Now, the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. And as I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation.
There's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father, father, we don't need to escalate. You see, war is not the answer, for only love can conquer hate.
You know we've got to find a way
to bring some love and kiss here today. Oh, pick it black and pick it fast. Don't punish me with brutality. Talk to me so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? Yeah, what's going on? Oh, what's going on?
Right on.
Everybody thinks we're wrong. Oh, but who would they judge us? Simply cause our hair is long. Oh, you know that we've got to find a way. Bring some.
Mm-hmm.
change for once in my life. It's gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turned up the collarbone, my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see a kid in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind pretending not to see them? A broken bottle top and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind and blow, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why no one gets to know.
Open eyes.